Today's program is brought to you by the International Culinary Center, offering courses that range from classic French techniques in culinary, pastry, and bread baking to Italian studies to management, from culinary technology to food writing, from cake making to wine tasting. For more information, visit culinarycenter.com.
I'm Dave Arnold, host of Cooking Issues. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil wants his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm your host, Damon Bolte, and in the studio today, I'm joined by two people who are no strangers to the radio and to talking about booze. I've got Souther Teague and Austin Henley from Amoria Margo, and you guys were actually both, not together, but you both used to do radio, right?
Yeah. Long ago, when I was 17 years old, I was a DJ on a local station in my hometown of Panama City Beach.
It's awesome.
WILN Radio, Island 106.
And I did not do radio, but I got myself through college by recording audiobooks.
That's
for
awesome.
Audible.com. Yeah. The best were when you got the romance novels and you had to read both parts.
Oh, that's amazing. I didn't even consider that. That's great.
Yeah, neither did I when I took the job.
So you guys both work at Amoria Margo. So you've been there since day one. Austin, how long have you been there now, Austin?
I've been there for about 8 months now, since cool. since Tales.
Cool.
Yeah.
Man, and you guys, we had Avery and Janet Glasser on the show before.
Mm-hmm. Mayur.
A couple of years ago, Mayur's been on. You know, we've had a few of the other people who've been involved with...
The genesis of Amoria Margo.
Yeah, totally. So where is it now? I mean, it's been open for, what, 3 years?
We'll be 4 years old, March 21st.
Okay.
And it's in a constant state of evolution. Like, we've remained the same and true to our ethos, yet we've changed and created new service periods all the time. We're working on a new program right now, which we'll talk about soon, but... Yeah, it's a constant state of evolution. We're now more of a retail outlet as well for, you know, bitters and barware, even some books. We sort of delved into the world of making T-shirts for a little while, but always staying true to our form. No juice, nothing shaken, all bitter and stirred cocktails.
Essentially, kind of like very limited perishables at all, right?
Well, the only perishables we have really are the... twists. We garnish some of the drinks with twists of grapefruit, orange, and lemon, but that's it.
Yeah. That's very cool.
That's our only fresh item.
It's cool. It's like, it's also very challenging. I mean, like, you know, I think about this as the way that I mix drinks at home, because I'm rarely ever at home. So I rarely keep anything that's perishable around. You know, if I have anything, it's going to be like a lemon or a grapefruit, and I don't even use those for juice. I just use them for twists. So
exactly.
It's like everything that you guys do, it's like stirred and boozy and bitter. That's how
it's
I do
really,
things at home.
It's a really minimalist approach. And in the beginning, you know, we were all a little bit terrified of what we had built and thinking like, what? Oh my gosh, we've limited ourselves so greatly. We've sort of broken our own ankles. How can we run? But then once you get inside of a place that's really limiting, you suddenly find a lot of creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get to a place now where it seems that there's no end to the drinks that we can make at Amoria Margo, but they aren't going to be shaken. They aren't going to use juice.
Right.
Yeah. They aren't going to use anything fresh.
Yeah. On the same thing that you were talking about, Damon, like one of the beauties of the drinks that we make at Amoria Margo is that you can make everything at home. Any drink that we make at Amoria Margo, as long as you can find the bottle, you can make it at home.
Yeah.
You don't have to make any kind of crazy syrups, no infusions, nothing. And we'll gladly write down any recipe for you.
Yeah. And you sell a lot of the bitters.
Yeah.
I mean, you sell a ton of bitters there. So it really helps if someone is interested in this one thing that has like Hellfire, you know, Bitterman's Hellfire. And it's like, boom, you don't want to know where to get it. It's right behind you. Grab it off the shelf.
Sure. And we'll make you a drink using it. And we'll gladly write down the spec for you. And you can buy the bitters from us. You can go and buy the other ingredients elsewhere. And you can go home and make the drink. It also means that every drink we've ever made at Amoria Margo, as long as the bottle still exists, we can make that drink today.
Right.
We don't have to rely on some piece of, you know, mise en place that we don't use anymore. So you can't make that drink anymore because we don't have that pink peppercorn lavender infused honey syrup that we used to make for that drink.
Yeah.
No, we never did that. If right. we have the bottles, we can make the drink.
That's and I love it. It goes back to what, you know, like you were saying, Austin. It's like great because those are the things that if you have it, you can make it. And it's, you know, in like one, like you were talking about your T-shirts. There was one of the T-shirts was just like the Negroni, and it says bitter spirit and vermouth. You know, and I always love that format because I won't say that it's foolproof, the Negroni.
Absolutely not.
It's one of the easier ones to.
It's one of the easier ones to mess make. Up, and also one of the easier ones to make.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's also one of the easier ones to like Mr. Potato Head around.
Exactly. So if you've got a bitter and you've got a vermouth and you've got a base spirit, then you've got some sort of Negroni. You know, it's great to have. Like again, you know, like at home, I might not have an orange or a grapefruit to twist it, but even if you just throw those ingredients together in that format, you can still get away with like having a really nice drink. Maybe you put like a dash of orange bitters in there mm-hmm. to make up for the lack of the twist.
Sure, orange citrate, something bright right on top.
So that's really cool. I think it's important to have those drinks, you know?
Yeah, well, and also I also really think it's important to have an ethos that we stand fast by, not only at our bar, but I think it's becoming more and more common at most bars. To be focused and have a specified thing that you do so that people come and see you for that thing. I don't think many of us would go to a restaurant that served sushi and spaghetti and tacos.
I would.
Well, of course, I said most of us.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But what you do is you go to the sushi place because that's what you want, right?
Sure.
So you go to a Mori Margo because you're looking for these brown, bitter, sort of very strong drinks. Mm-hmm. You go to Mayawell because you're looking for all agave spirits. You go to Booker and Dax because you're looking for some really fun and challenging and interesting techniques. I think that any bar that's foolish enough to try and offer everything to everyone is not going to please anyone.
Right. Yeah. I always say, you know, you got to have something for everyone, but you can't have everything for everyone.
Exactly.
And that's, I think another cool thing about it is like I've definitely been in a Mori Margo and there have been like it's a very small place. It's very intimate.
12 seats.
Yeah, it's cool though, man. Like, and I've been there with friends who don't drink, like, or we're taking a break, and it's like, you know what, just have some bitters and soda. You can have like one of like 45 different bitters and sodas if you want.
Yeah, well, we're pushing about 200 at this point, but yeah, you know, even those who you know are friends of Bill, as it were, in the AA. When they come in, you know, I offer them bitters and soda. Even though bitters are alcoholic, they're tantamount to vanilla extract. If vanilla extract had a bittering agent in it, it would be vanilla bitters, right? And I say, well, you eat ice cream. That's got vanilla extract in it. You're okay with a bitters and soda. It's refreshing. It's delightful. It's not going to get you in any way close to inebriated. And then you can still enjoy the environment that we try to produce.
So you're saying if I eat enough vanilla ice cream,
you can get drunk. Yes.
Oh, awesome. I know what I'm doing after this.
Well, so oddly, we're doing a pop-up at a Mori Margo today, right now, that I'm missing to be here, where we have some ice creams that my friends at Luca and Bosco made. Luca and Bosco is a great ice cream parlor here in New York City, and they make Amaro ice creams for me. They made Amaro Montenegro ice cream, Campari ice cream, and Ramazzotti ice cream, and we're doing ice cream floats right now. We're calling it the Ice Cream Soda Jerks.
That's awesome.
For Unofficial Bartender Week. Yeah, so I'm missing that to be here with you.
But
they're delicious.
You sound really bummed out about it.
I am, but that does mean that you can come over after and we can have some ice cream.
All right, that sounds
good
to me.
That might, in fact, get you messed up.
So what are some of the biggest things that you've seen since 4 years ago, starting out till now, like as far as big changes that have happened with the Mori Margo?
I mean,
in general with that style of drink and what it's done for the rest of the cocktail world?
I mean, so, you know, most of what we do are classics. You mentioned the Negroni. I feel like we really only make three, and then there's a slight exception for a fourth drink. We make variations on Old Fashions, Manhattans, and Negronis. Mm-hmm. And then we throw in the Americano as well, because we do have seltzer water. It's our only non-alcoholic ingredient.
Wow.
Besides flat water.
Yeah.
and you know, like, again, when we started the place, it was supposed to be a pop-up. We were supposed to exist for 6 months. And I think when I look back on it, sort of like we were full of ego, full of ourselves. We wanted to create a space that was for us, like a little clubhouse. You know, we closed at 11 p.m. Like, we weren't like reaching out to the bar community in any way, rather the bar consumer community. We were reaching out to bartenders kind of in the beginning, like a little clubhouse to go to and drink obscure, weird things and all bitter. And because I feel like that's the trend of a bartender, right? We like our drinks bitter and stirred.
Sure.
Maybe that's an evolution. You know, you start out with sweet and shaken and all that stuff, and you kind of grow into this world. So it was very ego-driven in the beginning, and then people kept coming. And we're like, they're kind of getting in the way of our clubhouse, but they're giving us money. So we kept moving forward. And then, like, how do these drinks stand up in the sort of general scope of the community at large? I think they're classics, but we really, really mess with them.
Yeah.
You can come in and get a classic rye whiskey old-fashioned. It will be delightful and delicious. Or you can come in and get literally an untold number of variations on that theme with the things that we have.
Yeah, one of the cool things, I always like popping in there just to see what's new, because I mean, back when I worked in retail, it was like I was always like right there, like as soon as something came out, I was like, boom, got it, let's do it, we got it, we're selling it, we're drinking it, we're playing with it. And since I don't work in retail anymore, it's like I kind of go there to like see what's new and what's coming out. Like you've got a couple of bottles here in studio today, and one of them's the Vernelli. I love these, the Vernelli Amari, because they, first of all, the first time I ever saw them was at Amore Margo, right? And it was up on top shelf, but it was next to some other cool stuff. You had all these beer schnapps.
Yeah, yeah.
That were like...
Well, that's like 2 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, it just kind of blew my mind, because I had never really considered that. But then I was thinking about the combination of those two in a drink and like the possibilities of that, and just also how like obscure and rare it is. And I think that's a huge appeal for the non-bar like consumer base, is that they like to, I see like a lot of times when I go in there, I don't see other bartenders or necessarily even industry people. I see a lot of people who are just intrigued by bitters, you know. It's at first it was like you said, it was like a clubhouse, but then like 2 years ago I started noticing like even like a year into it, and it's like you started noticing like all these people were coming in, people talking about it, and like, oh, it's my favorite bar. And it's like I swear you were sitting at my bar last week and you were asking for a Cosmo, and right. then I saw you here and you're like obsessed with bitters, and I'm like, that's amazing that could happen.
Yeah, we're certainly walking people, you know, down to the water and encouraging them to drink. You know, the shop itself, even from the outside, has a very sort of, you know, I don't, there's a word in German, it's Wunderkammer, right? It means closet of curiosities. My bar is only 240 square feet. It's got a big window in the front filled with things that we sell that look shiny and interesting, and little vials and dropper bottles. And so I think it draws people in that way. And then once they get in the door, if they're caught off guard or taken aback, then we seize that opportunity to become a learning experience, an educational experience, and we get something in their hand. And, you know, I'd like to think that overwhelmingly they enjoy it. But either way, they enjoy that they got an experience. Mm-hmm. Right. So yeah, you were talking about the Amaro that I brought today. It's from Vernelli. It's called Amaro della Barista, which means the herbalist. It's heavily herbaceous. Duh. It's an unfiltered, so it kind of looks like a wheat beer when you pour it in the glass, which right. We're about to do. And then it's sweetened with honey. All Amaros are sweetened. That's the thing that people don't know, or they don't think right away. They think bitter, can't have any sweetness. It's got to have some sweetness so that it's balanced, so it's potable, drinkable. So the Amaro della Barista is made with honey that they have their own apiary, so they have their own bees. And the bees are flying around in the same area as the botanicals are grown. And I've been very lucky and had the chance to taste this honey on its own. And you taste the bitter botanicals in the honey.
Oh, that's right? Really cool.
You know, when you get like orange blossom honey, you can really taste that orange in the honey. It's orange and sweet. This is bitter sweet honey. So this is a pretty powerfully bitter Amaro. And it's delightful and enchanting. And we're about to try some. Why don't you guys talk while I pour some?
Yeah, why don't you pour some out for us? I'm sure Jack would like a taste of it too. One of the cool things about Amore Margo, as you were saying before about the storefront, is that you have like all these shiny objects. And I know when people come to my bar, they see all the stuff that I have from like antique stuff, but also like a lot of stuff from Cocktail Kingdom, which you guys have a retail agreement with. You're kind of like the outpost. You don't have everything that they have in the offices, but they don't really...
I could. I just don't have the space.
You don't have the space for it. But also it's like they... It's... You still want it to be a bar and not like overly retail, right? So I think it's cool that you can go there and pick up like a mixing glass. Like, say, like your customer, we'll give that to Jack on the break. and like the customers that come in there and you're telling them about these bitters and stuff, it's like they see what you're using for, like, people always comment on my bar tools and like my tool roll up whenever they see it, you know, all the gold and copper and silver stuff. And
absolutely.
Like,
they see us using the stuff and then they want to buy it and take it home.
Cause what better gift to like, give yourself or, you know, your friends. I think it's like giving the gift of like making a cocktail. It's like, it's a pretty powerful thing, man.
It really is. And again, with our formulas being so, you know, I hate to like let the, you know, never mind that guy behind the curtain. I don't want to let all the secrets out, but you know, our formulas are pretty simple. Again, they're classics. They've been around forever. You know, a Manhattan, an old fashioned, and a Negroni, effectively all we really make. So you just have to tinker with some things and stay true to those forms. And we're, you know, one of the rules at Amore Margo is that we're all ready and willing and able to write down any recipe on request at any time. We don't hide anything. You know, we're actually finally kicking around the idea of starting the process of writing a book. And we're kicking around names for the book. And one of the names that's kind of sticking to the wall right now is Amore Margo. Try this at home, because we want to be able to say, we can do this for you, and you'll certainly come back to us because we'll do the dishes, but you can go home and do this yourself.
Yeah, cool.
And we have all the armaments for you to do that. You can buy the bitters from us. You can buy the tools from us. We'll write down recipes for you. Here's a whole book of recipes. Go home and do this stuff.
Yeah, and then come back.
But then come back.
Then come back.
ours will still be better.
Well, cool. Let's take a quick break. Before we do, I just want to say that I'm really glad that you brought this one on the show today. The Varnelli Barista is like, you're right. I mean, there's something really bright about this that kind of stands out from a lot of the other Amari.
Yeah, and it attacks your palate, but it walks away really drying, so it's got a little bit of tannins going on. It's also great, and let's not forget that Amaris and bitters are all, you know, they started as medicines. So it's cold here in New York. It's snowing. Everybody's feeling a little bit low. Amaro's good for you.
Absolutely. All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back talking with the fellows from Amore Margo in New York City.
And this one's called Quick by Dreams on heritageradionetwork.org.
National Culinary Center is a proud sponsor of the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. The ICC, with locations in New York and California, provide cutting-edge education to future chefs, restaurateurs, and wine professionals. We're proud to claim Dan Barber, Bobby Flay, and David Chang among our honored alumni. This is Dorothy Cann Hamilton from Chef Story. Check out our ICC website at internationalculinarycenter.com.
And we're back. You're listening to The Speakeasy, and we're talking bitters today with Souther Teague and Austin Henley of Amore Margo here in New York City. And we just left the show. We went to break having some of the Varnelli Arborista that's just amazing and super, like, I don't know. It's just, it always makes me feel, like, kind of guilty when we talk about these things when we're doing tastings on the show because, I mean, I really feel like...
Because your guests can't taste with
you. Because they can't taste with us, and maybe it'll... hopefully intrigue them enough to where they go out and try it.
Yeah, but they can come into Amore Margo.
Yeah, exactly. So you brought another one with you too, which happens to be my other favorite. I don't know that, like, if you read my like life journal or something.
Yeah, I did. I just grabbed these on my way out of the shop today.
Cool, man.
Second one I brought is Amaro Montenegro. This is really one of the most versatile and useful Amari that I have on the back bar, because it's got a good amount of sweetness. As mentioned before, all Amari have a bit of sweetness. It's also got a lot of florality and even some juicy notes. So, again, we don't use juice at Amori Margo. We have to find that elsewhere. So this comes into play for me a lot. It's got lots of notes of, like, orange blossom and bitter orange on the front. It's, you know, gentian and floral bitter in the center. And then the finish actually tastes like wet vegetables, like cucumber and celery. And so it's got a lot of uses.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really cool.
And I'm glad you went with the Arborista first, because it's so sharply bitter that between the two of these, the Monty's kind of like dessert.
Mm-hmm. And I'm always a sucker for packaging, too, and both of these have great bottles. You know, I know that the Montenegro just changed their label.
Changed the label. The bottle's been the exact same shape since they started in 1885.
Yeah. I think, you know, I'm glad that they didn't go super modern with the new label change. Because it still looks really classic. I think for a newcomer to the brand, they'd probably still approach it as something that looks super classic still.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though the previous label looked really old school.
Yeah. The previous one had a bunch of those, like, tags from winning awards and competitions throughout the, 100-year history. This one just looks a lot cleaner. But nothing changed inside the bottle, just the label.
Yeah. So, outside of these, what are some of your favorites? I mean, really, what got you in, what was the first Amaro that really, changed your mind and, got you
into it? Have you ever heard of Fernet Branca?
I'm familiar with it.
I've seen your tattoo. No, it actually wasn't Fernet Branca for me. It was, I'd really have to dig in my brain and think about what my first Amari was, but I can say this. I was a chef for 12 years prior to becoming a bartender, which I've now been for 13, so I've eclipsed my former career. But so I feel like I approached the bar with a really savory palate. Mm-hmm. So I was just sort of kind of intrinsically led down the path of bitter. Because mm-hmm. Everything on my bar is pretty much a savor. You know, I even like my goofy Twitter handle says something along the lines of, like, I used to be a chef, now I just make chilled soup. Right? So, that led me down this road. I can't pinpoint what was my first Amari.
What about you, Austin?
I was drinking at Amori Margo for about 2 years before I worked at Amori Margo.
The interview process.
Yeah, it's a long one. I overlapped with Souther at Booker & Dax for one day. I was his bar back for one day.
That was enough.
Yeah. And then I started coming to Amori Margo regularly to hang out. And I think that the first Amaro that I had there was Amaro Abano.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
The Luxardo?
Yeah, Abano. Luxardo.
Yeah.
Like super vegetal, white pepper. And just, it was like nothing I'd ever tasted before. And then I just got more and more curious and just... you know, kept coming in on Wednesdays and bugging him, asking him all the questions.
Yeah. I mean, well, he's good about that.
Yeah. But yeah, well, I like to, again, so I was a chef for a long time. During my time as a chef, I taught for 2 years at the New England Culinary Institute up in Montpelier, Vermont. So, I do have this streak in me that wants to teach and wants to deliver information. A big chunk of the experience of Amori Margo is a learning experience for my guests. And for me, teaching is learning.
Yeah.
You know, like if I'm constantly having to explain or tell people about things, I'm always honing it and making it sharper and cleaner.
And I know that you've done quite a few classes and seminars on bitters. And
I have. We used to do classes at Amore. That was part of the evolution, too. We kind of squeezed them out because we did them on the weekends in the daytime when normal folks, 9-to-5ers, day walkers, whatever you want to call them, when they could make it. But then I started a new service at Amori Margo on the weekends called Double Buzz. Double Buzz, we do coffee and Amaro pairings and coffee and Amaro cocktails. We have a great barista. Her name's Amanda Witt. She is a nationally recognized barista competitor. She gets a different roaster in every month. We make a brand new menu every month. And it's a ton of fun. And we call it Double Buzz because Amaro is a buzz and coffee's a buzz. That's a double buzz.
It's a double buzz.
Embrace it.
Yeah. Make it a double.
Yeah. So that was the only time that we could really do classes. I will occasionally do one if people want to book it on a Monday through Thursday in the afternoon, which is hard for people who have jobs.
Yeah.
But we still squeeze them in. I still do seminars and talks and lectures at conferences like Tales of the Cocktail or Portland Cocktail Week. I do a little writing for Thrillist where I talk about, Amari, and I talk about just the way that we deal with guests and hospitality. Mm-hmm. Where we embrace people when they walk in the door and we want them to feel welcome.
I think that's an important thing to point, like an important point to kind of land on for a second, because like I know like a lot of times on this show we talk a lot about like hospitality and customer service and like the different like service styles that we all come up with, and like some of them are born out of necessity, some of them are just like ideas we really want to like push the hospitality forward. And I think Amore Amargo, from the bartender point of view, is a really, really great practice for being patient, you know, because you really, like, I've never been behind the bar once, and but it was just, you know, on one of those nights where, like, Aaron Polsky was working, he's like, come back here and make a drink. I'm sorry if I just threw him under the bus. But
it's all good.
But I think it's definitely one of those places where it is challenging, you know? It's challenging for you guys. The flavor profiles and everything, and I think...
Yeah, and it's a tight space back there.
Yeah, and you really have to walk people through, like, these different flavor profiles, and I think it's...
I think that one of the most difficult things for any bartender to do is amped up by several notches at Amore Amargo, and that is to remain unjaded.
Yeah.
Right? The sort of easy definition of being jaded is when things annoy you that you just have to do over and over again. Mm-hmm. But at Amore Amargo, we do the same things over and over and over and over again. We have to. What are bitters? How many times a night do I get that question? And I have
are
an answer.
Are you a mixologist?
That one is fewer and further between, actually. But yeah, what are bitters? Like, we have to answer that question all the time, and it's a lengthy answer. And so what we've learned to do at Amore Amargo, and you know, I think any bartender anywhere should do the same. We don't lean in and talk to that guest. We lean back and talk to the room. Because the guy next to him wants to know the same thing. And if you don't say it loud enough, he's going to ask you to. And it's a 2 or 3 minute conversation that then you got to have again.
Yeah.
So we teach the room. We don't just teach the one guest. We try and engage people, even if they aren't together. You know, I'll try and make eye contact because I can see that little ear perking up. They're interested. They've stopped talking to their friend. They're kind of listening. So I make it loud enough so they don't have to kind of listen.
Yeah.
That sort of drives us away from becoming jaded is... trying to reach, well, doing like we're doing here on the radio, we're reaching more people at the same time. You know, right. I could have this conversation with just you two in this room, or we could broadcast it literally and have this conversation with a lot of people at the same time.
That's the whole reason why we started doing it, you know?
Yeah, man. I'm sorry it took me so long to get here.
I know. Yeah, seriously. Because
you do this on Wednesdays, and Wednesday is my favorite night to work. So I never take Wednesdays off.
Yeah, I hear you.
And I'm not taking tonight off either. Lindsay's going to open the shop, and I'm going to run straight over there after this.
Right on. Well, I'm glad you took the time to do it. It's been you know, years in the making.
Literally, yes.
Because we've been doing the show for 4 years, over 4 years now.
Yeah.
Damon, you know what episode it is today?
What is it?
It's the 150th episode.
Boom! Wow. I did know that. I was waiting to say it till later, but Jack, I'm glad you got to do it.
Thanks, Jack.
It's awesome. First.
Milestone.
What's that, the sesquicentennial? Is that what that's called?
I've never heard that word in my life.
I just kind of remember that from...
Does that have to do with what's that movie? Bigfoot?
What's the movie? I thought it was...
Groundhog Day?
No.
I don't know.
Oh, no. It's the Waiting for Guffman.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
So, I see the clock on the wall that we're running a little short.
Yeah,
time.
I was going to ask you, what's next for you guys?
We have one thing that we definitely want to touch on. It's a new service period that we've, you know, so like Double Buzz sort of exists inside of Amore Amargo. Now we've created another one. We call it 2 Weeks Notice. Austin here is going to tell you all about it because he's sort of the brain behind this one.
I wouldn't go that far, but
he's definitely the good looks behind this one.
He's the brains, I'm the good looks. On some Mondays in a month, we will have a service at Amore Amargo, which is a seated only, 4 seatings of 10 people, 3 cocktail prefix. And everyone will be notified 2 weeks prior to that date. That's why we call it 2 weeks notice. And
wait, I don't get it.
I will say it slower.
Yes.
So we did the first one a couple weeks back, and
on the 19th,
yeah,
right?
Sold out in 48 hours. So that was, we were just maybe
going to
do
it. It's a total of 40 seats. Yeah. We thought this was going to be a one-off. It's a total of 40 seats, 4 seatings of 10, 2-hour blocks, 3 cocktails and snacks made by me.
Cool.
Former chef, don't forget. Delightful. We change everything. We break our own rules. You know, the last drink at the first 2 weeks notice had everything that breaks the rules at Amore Amargo. It had eggs in it, had juice in it, had sugar in it. It was shaken. It was served in a coupe. All these things we don't do.
Yeah, wow. Amaro sour.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's delightful. We change the look of the room. We change even where you enter the room. We come in through a different entrance.
Through the kitchen?
We come in through Cienfuegos, through upstairs.
Oh, cool.
The bar that we share a kitchen
so
with.
So up and then down again?
Yeah. Up and then down again, which is a good twist of irony for me. It means that way back in the day, Amore Margo was the waiting room for Cienfuegos.
Right.
Before it was Amore Margo, and now Cienfuegos is my waiting room. But it's delightful, and it's a way to see Amore Margo in a different light. Seated cocktails, you know, 10 seats all down the bar. We rearranged the room to make it look totally different. We set out candles, and we, again, all the things we don't normally do, we do. And so it's a bit of a shock and surprise. There's lots of little things that I don't want to give away right now because I want people to come and be delighted by these things. But we have another one planned for this coming Monday, which isn't quite sold out. I think the snowstorms kind of got everybody off balance and the stupid bowl and whatever. We have a few seats left for that one, and then we have another one already in the planning stages that we're going to do a benefit for our friends over at Black Crescent. Their bar burned down. They're trying to rebuild. That one's going to be $100 a seat. Instead of the normal 70, which, by the way, includes tip and tax. So it's a flat fee, three cool drinks and a snack for 70. It's a really great deal in New York City anyway. I don't know who's listening from Des Moines, Iowa, who thinks that's ludicrously expensive.
You never know.
Three drinks and a snack. Anyway, yeah, it's delightful. And, love to have you come to one, actually.
I would love to. Sure. Absolutely, man. I think Jack and I should go. Jack was just telling me before the show.
I was
going
to say bring a date, but that's even better.
Yeah, bring Jack.
You know, it's one of Jack's favorite bars in the city.
True.
He says it all the time. And so it's really great that we finally got you guys to come on this show and talk about it. And it sounds like an awesome idea, man. And
it's a lot of fun. I totally hijacked this idea. I did a pop-up in the Columbia Room in D.C. with Derek Brown, one of my dear friends. I've been to the Columbia Room a few times, and that's their everyday service. And then I did the pop-up, and I worked that service, and I was like, whoa, this is amazing. And I was like, his bar has 10 seats. My bar has 10 seats. Why don't I do this? So we're doing it, and it's great. It's a lot of work and a lot of effort, but it's a huge payoff.
I think Derek would be very much flattered by that.
Oh, actually. I know he is. I've already talked to him about it.
Cool. Yeah. He's invited.
Yeah.
Well, cool, guys. Where can we find out more information about that? Just go to the website? Or
Austin set up an email if you want to email this email he's got for you.
Yeah, you can email 2.weeks.notice.amore@gmail.com. Send us an email if you'd like to set up a reservation for one of the seatings.
Great, and we'll post that on the website for all of our listeners to check it out.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks so much, guys. It's been my pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you,
Dan. You're both first-timers, which is great. Can't wait to have you on many more times. Steve Schneider was on the show last week, and I think it was like his 7th time. So we're going to have to apologize to Steve for not being on the 150th, but sorry, buddy. Sorry.
Happy 150, Damon.
Mighty Schneidy.
Yeah. Cool, man. Thanks for being here, and we'll see you. We'll see you at Amore Margo on Monday.
Excellent. For sure. Yeah, absolute right. pleasure. Thanks, thank you so much.
Thanks for listening. That's it for the Speakeasy this week. Check in next week where we'll have Jordana Rothman of Time Out in New York. And until then, be safe and have a good time. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Heritage_Radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.